wireless headphones. That'll be $200.
I'll use my Capital One Quicksilver card.
Now that's a hit. You used the Capital One Quicksilver card, which makes you the hero of every purchase. With Quicksilver, you earn unlimited 1.5% cash back on every purchase everywhere.
I wanted running music, but unlimited 1.5% cash back is pretty heroic.
Good instincts. Every hero needs a theme song. The Capital One Quicksilver card. What's in your wallet?
Terms apply. See CapitalOne.com for details.
Donate and listen to the podcast at WRWL.org.
All right, we're going back. We're going to hear from Dr. David Martin. And he's going to be talking about the WHO, the World Health Organization, which President Trump defunded. But, of course, right away, Joe Biden went right back to the deep state, the communists. But he's going to tell you about the tyranny of this organization. So go ahead and roll it, Kyle.
We're a group of very small number of criminal industrial conspirators decided to subordinate the entirety of the human population for the purpose of their sinister plans to enrich themselves while impoverishing and killing the rest of humanity. And I'm done being polite. We've long passed polite. When the words acceptable death rate become part of an industrial norm, we have lost the plot of humanity. And that's not my words. Those were the words of the World Health Organization and of Pfizer and of Moderna when they were given the authorization to begin the process of killing human beings in the interest of advancing their goals. Next slide. And I'm also not going to sugarcoat this. This is a criminal cartel. We are acting as though there's some sort of redeemable quality somewhere in some esoteric layer that somehow or another the World Health Organization must have some salutatory benefit. Well, I'm going to tell you, since its formation in the 1940s, the World Health Organization has been nothing more than a criminal cartel that has a sole and singular intent. And I will show you the document that proves what I'm saying. This is not an allegation. This is actually provable by their own words in their own hand. And they use a four-step process to execute every one of their nefarious plans. They begin by planning an exercise. Then they go to the business of funding that exercise. Then they create the rationale for the thing that they're going to do. And then they deploy and profit from it. And in violation of 15 U.S. Code Section 19, which for those of you listening, coincidentally started with the Clayton Act in the same year that the World Health Organization in the United States, 1913, the same year the World Health Organization's progenitors also started. So I find it fascinating that we passed the Clayton Act in 1913 and we set in motion 110 years ago the criminal conspiracy, which we now call the World Health Organization. 110 years later. And in violation of TEFU, or TEFU, I don't know even how to say it, the TFEU, the treaty allegedly for the functioning of the European Union, which I think needs to now be called the Treaty for the Dysfunctional European Cabal, Article 101 unambiguously lays out the conditions that this was never a public health anything. It was racketeering for the purpose of instilling terror to adapt the behavior of a population, period. That's what it was. That's what it always was. And we can come up with every theoretical argument we want to make about things, but the problem, even with the theory that we had an outbreak of something, is falsifiable for the data from Zurich that shows us that in the year of the death pandemic of the globe, life insurance companies paid $30 billion less in claims. Now, if there's a medical professional or a social professional or anybody else who wants to debate that we could develop a virus cunningly that could find out your bank account, your insurance policy statements, and whether you're paid up on your premiums, that's a big ask. It turns out that the data is unambiguous. We did not have a pandemic. We had genocide, and we need to call it what it is. Next slide. When I say we planned it, let's make sure we understand exactly the not-so-fine print of the fine print. And I want to call your attention first to the right-hand column of the slide. This is the 2011 data that the World Health Organization, the Wellcome Trust, PATH, and the Gates Foundation did on their wonderful worldwide program for a malaria vaccine for children under the age of 6 months of age. And in their clinical trial, it's helpful to point out that they murdered 66 children in the vaccine group, and then cunningly used the term control for a control group in which they murdered 28 children. Now, the reason I said murdered and the reason why I use that term is because it's exactly what it was. Because it turns out that this control group was not a saline injection. It was not some sort of innocuous, innocent thing. It was actually a cocktail of other known pathogenic disease-carrying injections. The control group was known to kill people, and the experimental control group was actually theoretically maybe going to kill people. And what we did was we actually went ahead and murdered them all. And cunningly, under Article 5, Section 13, which I've put on this slide, I want you to understand why I said at its formation in 1947, when the WHO was funded and founded, it was funded and founded by people intent to commit a crime because of their own language. Section 13 of Article 5 ends with the following statement: immunity from personal arrest or detention, blah, 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 immunity from legal process of every kind. Now, if you didn't intend to commit a crime, why would you need to give yourself permanent and absolute immunity from every form of prosecution, and it's worse, even investigation for prosecution of every kind? People sit there and pretend, well, that's like diplomatic immunity. Do you realize this isn't even meeting the standard of diplomatic immunity? This is a criminal organization who set in motion their own law to protect themselves against crimes they knew they were going to commit. And when I say they knew they were going to commit, I mean they knew it, because their first director general, none other than Dr. René San, who happened to be in the hospitality of the Germans in Dachau in 1940 earlier, in 1947, mysteriously, with the largesse of the Rockefeller Foundation, was nominated to become the first director general of the WHO. And within 5 short years, René San decided to authorize the real purpose of the WHO in writing by then Director General Dr. Brock Chisholm, who advocated for population control as its primary objective. Does that sound like public health to anyone in this room? This is not public health. This is the advancement of the same genocidal program that began with the Carnegie Foundation's funding of the Eugenics Office at Cold Spring Labs in the United States in 1913 under the philanthropy of Andrew Carnegie. People, stop fooling yourself. We debate the leaves on the tree of what we call this pandemic thing, but we're not going to the root. This was an organized crime racketeering entity set up to give itself first absolute immunity and then execute its plans to make sure it controls who lives, who dies, and who gets any chance at life. And if you think that I am somehow inflating numbers, let me be unambiguous. Under every treatment of tax provision, if I were to tell you that there is an 88% controlling interest of any organization, you might conclude that that actually aggregates into a controlling interest. And it turns out that if we look at the foundation donations to the World Health Organization, 88% of those come from a single organization, the Gates Foundation. That constitutes a violation of every competitiveness law in Europe and every competitiveness law in the United States. This is absolutely not only not an independent, charitably funded donation, but more importantly, under the tax laws on both sides of the Atlantic, this constitutes directed donations, which specifically are forbidden and do not have any place anywhere in the Charter of the World Health Organization or any of the UN-affiliated organizations. When I say this is a crime, I mean it's a tax crime, a racketeering crime, a money laundering crime, and now the crime of racketeering leading to murder and global terrorism. Next slide. I told you that the second thing after they plan it is they fund it. And why don't we use the criminals' language in their own words, because it's the best way to say it. When they actually planned the release of the use of a biologically modified chimera associated with the model derived from coronavirus, they actually said the following. To sustain the funding base beyond the crisis, we need to increase the public understanding for the needful medical countermeasures such as a pan-influenza or pan-coronavirus vaccine. Now, let me pause for just one moment and remind you that the crisis that they were speaking of was a crisis of diminishing funding. There was no health crisis. This was a crisis of their coffers were starting to run dry. That's the crisis. And let's read on. A key driver is the media, and the economics will follow the hype. We need to use that hype to our advantage to get to the real issues. Investors will respond if they see profit at the end of the process. That is officially the statement made by the conspiratorial cabal that by that time was the decade of vaccines put in motion in 2011 by the Global Preparedness Monitoring Board of the World Health Organization, and it was the funding base for Peter Daszak's partnership with the chimeric production of pathogens both in North Carolina and in Wuhan. So don't tell me that we have to do an investigation into where this came from. The criminals have admitted to it in their own words. Next slide. And now we get the fun one that no one in Congress is willing to address, which is the elephant in the room. On October the 21st, 2014, despite the multiple conversations between Senator Rand Paul and Anthony Fauci, where we've been told that Rand Paul has done everything he can to put Fauci on the ropes, he has had in his possession the letter that you see on the left. And it is the letter, conveniently on NIAID letterhead, sent to the University of North Carolina, Chapel Hill, which unambiguously states that during the gain-of-function moratorium, which, by the way, if we use the word moratorium, feels like that means you're supposed to stop. Why don't we go ahead and look at two pieces of this letter? First, the second bullet under Project One, which, by the way, was not part of the original grant. This was to look at the novel functions of the virus pathogenesis in vivo. You know what that means? In living systems. The grant was supposed to be clinical simulations and models, but this grant was modified with this letter to say we were going to authorize gain-of-function research during the moratorium in living systems. And then we love the last paragraph of this letter, which conveniently says, as your grant is currently funded, this pause is voluntary. How many times have you met a voluntary moratorium? And the best part about it is that if we look at the very last line, or continue to conduct the applicable gain-of-function research until the end of the currently active budget period. But here comes the problem. You know who is supplying the budget? An indefinite term, unlimited amount contract from DARPA and from NIH. Isn't it convenient to have a perpetually funded project that needs to stop when the money runs out, when you find out that there is no point where the money runs out because there is no end to the thing that has no end? And lest you think that I'm making an allegation, which I'm not, I'm making an accusation. Let's be clear. And there's a big difference. I'm not alleging anything. They actually went to the trouble of telling us that it was going to be the Wuhan virus that was going to get us. As you see on the right-hand side of the screen, published in 2016, March 14th of 2016, the SARS-like Wuhan Institute of Virology Virus 1, and I quote, is poised for human emergence. Does that sound like we're just surprised that something in Wuhan went a little haywire in December of 2019? Or does it feel like we were told, look at Wuhan, and look at coronavirus, and look at what we've been doing to manipulate coronavirus in Wuhan and in the University of North Carolina, Chapel Hill, and lo and behold, we're going to go ahead and tell you that we're ready to release it in 2016. Next slide. We're almost done. And then they created it. Now, all of you know that I am criticized globally for my use of the term biological warfare. I do that because I am credentialed to do that. I happen to be, for the United States government, in the early part of the 2000s and the latter part of the 90s, a person who was sent around the world to look at the proliferation of biological and chemical weapons. I'm acutely familiar with the definition of what a biological warfare agent is in the 18 U.S. Code, the criminal code, of violations of biological and chemical weapons. And so my assessment is, in fact, professional and right. And the reason for that is I'm the one credentialed to make that determination for the United States government for many years. That's why I say it. But let's pretend for the moment that I'm just a nut job. Maybe I don't know what I'm talking about. So why don't we look at what the criminals said themselves, shall we? In 2005, at a conference sponsored by DARPA and the MITRE Corporation, Ralph Baric, the architect of the lethal strand that has been injected into millions and billions of people's arms, that Ralph Baric was sponsored to present the following, and let's go ahead and use his words, presentation. Synthetic coronaviruses, biohacking, biowarfare-enabling technologies. Does that sound like a public health distribution program? Does that sound like something that is accidentally misinterpreted to mean something else? Or does biological warfare enabling technologies sound like not countermeasures or pandemic preparedness? It sounds to me like biological warfare enabling technologies. And the reason why I have that hunch is what followed was he received, next to his NIAID grants, non-competitive DARPA grants in matching funds for over $140 million of aggregate funding going into his and his related programs on synthetic biological warfare enabling technologies. So do I have a problem calling the injection a biological warfare enabling technology? Absolutely not, because that's what they called it. And we know that they knew they called it that on September 18th, 2019. Because on September 18th, 2019, the racketeering, co-conspiring cabal of interlocking directorates, also known as the World Health Organization, said that they were going to conduct an experience for the world that was going to be a rapidly spreading pandemic due to a lethal respiratory pathogen. The lethality in that statement is the problem. They didn't say we're going to maybe get a little bit of sniffles going around. They said we were going to actually have the promulgation of a deadly agent. And the stated reason in September 2020, the progress indicator is that the world would accept a universal vaccine. Not we'll look at other options of treatment. Not we'll have a look at what might be early intervention, as Dr. McCullough has so clearly advocated for in many, many, many instances. Not that. We stated on September 18th, 2019, we were intending to kill. And we were intending to kill to create the fear that would drive people to accept something that without coercion, no one would have accepted. And that's published by the criminal racketeers. Next slide, and there's only two to go if you're following. Deploy and profit from it. We were told investors will respond if they see profit at the end of the process. And lo and behold, guess what they saw? Profit at the end of the process. 2022, $100 billion for Pfizer of public funds. Moderna, after lying to the Congress in October of 2020 when they were asked to actually verify whether NIAID was promoting an injection that would enrich NIAID, where Anthony Fauci and the entire team at NIH said that they had no financial interest in their recommendation, they receive a back payment royalty of $400 million for the first payment of the royalty. $400 million. More than any institute of health has ever received in a single payment for a single invention in the history of American medical research. And lo and behold, what do we receive after that? A request from the World Health Organization to expand its budget by 11% to make sure that the people who profited from it donate to it. And guess what they just did? They laundered the money right back. That's what they did. Next, and now you get the final slide. This is not a public health crime. This is actually not a constitutional crime. This is a criminal act done by a criminal institution established to enable criminal behavior since its foundation in 1947. That is what this is. And we should not be debating the merits of democracy or liberty or anything else. As irrational as that would be if we stood at a bank robbery and debated the merits of printing dollar bills. The problem is not the dollar bills. It's the bank robber. And the problem here is not health, and it's not public health, and it's not the suppression of information and the suppression of dissident views and the absolute unconscionable treatment of physicians around the world and academicians around the world who spoke out against this. That's not the crime. The crime is that we had criminal racketeers who conspired and developed a, quote, emergency. The same criminal racketeers planned, manufactured, and did all agency capture to make sure that you were told that you would use terms that they tell you to use. Vaccine, face mask, health, social distancing, none of which had ordinary use definition. So we just used them. Criminal racketeers price fixed with interlocking directorates where known competitors came together and fixed prices in direct collusion in violation of both European Union standards and in violation of both the Sherman and the Clayton Act in the United States. These were crimes. It was organized crime, and we should treat it as such. Criminal racketeers publicly lied under oath, and this resulted in the death and destruction of liberty, and most importantly, the death and destruction of the integrity of well-meaning people who sit here today doing everything they can within their power to try to treat the calamities created by this catastrophe. I will not for a moment denigrate the multiple contributions of amazing academic and medical professionals who've tried desperately to step into the gap and stop the corrupt outcomes of these crimes. But I will, without doubt, say the following. Until we treat this as a criminal conspiracy of criminal racketeers resulting in global terrorism for the purpose of profiteering and murder, until we have that conversation, we're having the wrong conversation. Because we are not here to debate the merits of a modified agreement for a criminal racketeering organization. We are here to end the criminal organization itself. This is my call to every single person on this planet. Don't just limit the power of the WHO. Destroy the WHO. Thank you very much.
All righty. You know, I could not agree with him more. And this is exactly what President Trump said. We need to defund them. You know, they're owned by China. They're owned. Okay. And you know, the CIA here are under investigation right now, Wendy and Joe, for paying off its own agents its own agents right. to get him to lie about the virus escaping from the Wuhan lab. It's really...
And a pretty big whistleblower came out and accused and said everybody, all those people the first go-around had voted that the virus had come from the Wuhan lab. And then after being sufficiently having palms greased, everybody changed their vote.
Absolutely. Now, Wendy, I'm going to give you and Joe another test here. You ready? And tell me here if this is a good thing or a bad thing where it comes to amending the Constitution of Ohio to say this. Every individual has a right to make and carry out one's Second Amendment rights. Would that be a good thing or a bad thing?
Be a good thing.
Joe?
Good thing.
Wrong. See, this is lawyer language. This is the ACLU. And listen to me.
Boy. Okay.
Listen to me when I say it again. If every individual, 5-year-olds, 6-year-olds, 7-year-olds are individuals, has a right to carry handgun. You see, this is what is in this petition here that we're going to be voting on issue one to change the Constitution. And here's what they've got. They say if every individual has a right to make and carry out one's own reproductive decisions. So what they're saying is
8-year-old girls, 10-year-old girls, right?
Right. The girls being with abortions or having their breasts cut off or the boys being castrated. And now listen to this, okay? The state shall not directly or indirectly burden. See this word burden? Mm-hmm. Burden can be whatever a judge decides that word means, whatever that is, penalize or prohibit or interfere with. Now, do you understand what they're saying? This is an individual's voluntary right over their own body. So let's just say that your 10-year-old comes in and says, you know, I've decided that I'm tired of living, and I got the right, I'm going to commit suicide. And so, because that's it's her own body.
Right.
And she decides that. And then you say, no, I'm not going to let you do that. Well, then you're a violation of the law.
Because you are now a burden to them.
Right. The state will not allow, interfere.
It doesn't have to be that great. A burden can be far more subtle than that, can it?
Absolutely. Absolutely. This is what's in this bill. This bill, this issue one, which we are, and I'm telling people you have to vote no. Tell everyone you know. This was language of illusion created by the ACLU. A slick, slippery, slimy. See, what the ACLU will do every now and then, Joe, they'll actually take a case and they'll laugh and they'll mock, and they'll actually take an actual First Amendment case and pretend like they really believe in it. Of course, unless it's a First Amendment case for a Christian, right? And they do that. Every now and then, to show you, you see, we're not completely bad, but they are completely bad. It's their strategy.
They muddy the water.
And what they will do with this, what this whole issue one is to take away all parental rights, to remove all parental rights over your child. Number two, it's abortion all the way up into birth and after. And Joe, I'm going to tell you, when it comes to, you can use suicide here no matter what. This is as evil, Wendy, as evil gets. This issue one coming up on November 7th. We're trying to get the word out to people. Don't let them fool you. They fooled you on August 8th. They mocked and they laughed at you. And guess what, Wendy? They're pumping over $50 million on fake, phony television ads here in Ohio. This is the dark state. These are the same people behind this, Wendy. They're the same people that are behind the child sex trafficking. If it's evil, if it's wicked, it's under this. These are the same people. And so we'll be back after this.
All right. Okay.
I feel
so certain about this faith of mine. I'm hanging in there, doing fine. King Jesus is a friend of mine. I'm blessed by you. Saving babies, teaching sinners. Hell's for losers, heaven's for winners. This work is not for beginners. I am blessed by you. I'm coming home someday. Heaven's my way. I'm blessed by you. Where the saints all stay and little children play, I'm blessed by you. Where the saints of old walk on streets of gold, I know that I will see that heavenly prize. It's no surprise how happy I'll be. All right, Joe, you got time to take one quick article before, because we're going to open the phone lines and take some calls. It's got to be rapid fire calls, Wendy, so you got to move these people on. So go ahead, Joe, you got one fast article, do it.
I sure do. They're in the state of Virginia. There's a candidate who is running for state office. It's a lady, and her name's Gibson, Susanna Gibson. She's a nurse practitioner, two children, and she's running against a very successful Republican businessman. What makes it newsworthy is she and her husband had done nude sex videos of their sex life and had posted them on a website, and then they asked people for donations if they liked the web, you know, if they liked the what was going on. Well, somebody found it and told the world about it. So, you know, instead of being shamed and running off and hiding, she said, well, no big deal. The Democratic Party is backing her up, standing by her. And now she's calling herself a victim and she denounced the exposure. She said it's a violation of her privacy. Wait a minute. She and her husband voluntarily published these tapes of their sex acts up on a website, and now she's claiming that somebody, because somebody saw them and told the world about them, it's a violation of her privacy. She's calling it gutter politics, that she's a victim. And my first thought was, what about her two children? They're the real victims. This is your Democrat Party. You're always talking about, Pastor Ernie. Here it is. And the main people in the state are backing her up and trying. In fact, they're saying they're going to have a real big fundraiser to help her out. And, yeah, there you go, folks.
Joe.
America's Democrats.
Joe, you called her a lady. That's not what I would call her, Joe. And
no.
Joe, you and Wendy, don't ever do anything like that, okay?
I'm used to living around real women, real ladies. I don't have whores like that in my life, so I don't usually think about them much.
All righty. Okay, the lady in the trip. You know, yeah.
Yeah. Well,
No, it's not. I know it's not funny. And it's going to come back. Well, that happens, like that one woman who, she was on the TV sitcom, the blonde, very well-built blonde, was a TV sitcom, and she was also...
Suzanne Summers?
Yeah, that's it. And she made porno films, come home one day and found her son in there with a bunch of his friends looking at one of her porno films, and she was... She said, my son's friend says I'm really a hot mother, a hot mom.
Oh.
Anyhow, that's not what I would want my son to say about my wife. Let's go to John. John, you're in the air.
Yeah, this is very close back by the 9/11 commemoration. There's a really important lie by omission and commission that I think people have got to be aware of. If they'll just look up Pentagon's Operation Northwoods, they'll see verified by Pentagon documents that were leaked to an insider of the super spy agency, the NSA. And you can actually read those documents signed by all of the Joint Chiefs of Staff planning terrorist attacks against Americans to justify, to manipulate public consent for a full-scale invasion of Cuba. And they smugly even said in these Pentagon documents they could rely on the media to incite a wave of hate against Cuba that would allow the Pentagon to attack Cuba on a full-scale attack, not a Bay of Pigs attack. In the 60s, Kennedy called it off. He was horrified by it. But
I know.
If you look that up, you'll begin to understand that.
Okay, John, I got to move on, but I got to tell you, the CIA had 400 media whores. 400 media whores that they worked with on a regular basis. Okay, thank you.
Absolutely. Operation Mockingbird, that's another operation that people ought to look up besides Operation Northwoods. Please.
All right, thanks. We got to move on. Okay, the number is 888-677-9673. If you have a question or comment for Wendy, Wendy's our guest here tonight, 888-677-9673. Give us a call, but it's got to be quick. We got to move quickly because we don't have much time. Go ahead, Cliff, you're in there.
Yeah, how you doing? Before I get to a question for Wendy, LifeSite News posted an interview with Peter McCullough tonight. It was Laura Trump that actually did the interview, but a couple of points that he said. He said, if you followed the protocol of the CDC, you'd be up to 7 shots right now. That's what they want you to take. He said for the spike protein in the blood, he's recommending not any drugs. He's recommending nattokinase, bromelain, and curcumin is the 3 things to take.
Go ahead, Wendy.
No, I mean, I've heard him talk about it. Yeah, I've heard him talk about this. Yeah.
Yeah.
Okay.
And my other question for Wendy is, I've been using the basil, like putting that as a flavoring, say, like on pizza, for example. But in general, say, like basil, which you said was good for the eyes, would you take this or any other things? Would you get the supplement in pill form, or would you also potentially put these items in a drink?
Well, I mean, if you're using, you're using those herbs for the rosmarinic acid, is that what you mean?
Right, right.
Yeah, well, I mean, do you remember the Special K commercial where you had, you know, one bowl of Special K and 30 bowls of shredded wheat? Well, think of the shredded wheat as your bulk herb that you're getting and you're eating. You're just going to have to eat tons of it. Whereas if you had it in a concentrate, you just take drops of it. Okay. So teas are your weakest. Capsules and tablets a little bit more potent than your tinctures are your most potent. So your liquids are my preference, and that's what I would use for potency reasons.
Okay, so you would get, like, say, the herb basil in a tincture or a liquid form, preferable.
That would be your highest concentration, yeah.
Yeah, okay. And are there any specific drinks that you recommend as a concoction in general, like, that you like?
As far as, you know, something that's prepackaged at the store?
Well, no, that you would, you know, maybe put into a blend yourself that you would make or that you, you know, sell.
Oh, well, I'm really impartial to our plant-based vitamin mineral protein blend, which is all organic, and that's our body food mix. I definitely like that. It's got beetroot in it and chlorella and spinach and all these nice chlorophyll-rich plants. So, and you can add, I've added herbs to that, you know, if you want to make a concoction, if you will. But so I've added other tincture herbs to it and take it together.
Okay, so all in one type of thing, yeah.
Yeah.
Okay, thanks, Wendy. Okay.
You're
all right.
Welcome.
Okay, thanks, Cliff. Okay, very quickly, I got to do... I was going to hit. Where did that go? I had that article. Oh, I got to tell you this one, Wendy. I wanted to let you know about this. Beef company CEO stands up to Big Pharma. I'll shut down the company before we ship one single bag with mRNA-injected meat. Praise the good Lord for that. Quickly but quietly, Big Pharma and various state governments are working to inject beef and dairy cattle with RNA vaccines. The practice has been happening with pork since 2018, and beef is next on the agenda. Up here in our area, everybody's trying to buy their meat from the Amish. Jason Nelson, CEO of Whole Cows, has been watching the development closely. His Texas company, which specializes in shelf-stable freeze-dried meat for long-term storage, has vowed never to allow gene-therapied cattle to enter the food supply through their products. Gateway Pundit benefits when you purchase through them. But here, he says, I'll shut down the company before we ship a single bag of mRNA-injected meat, he said. That's why we're growing as quickly as possible. We can achieve the buying power to produce large amounts. We're relatively small now, but we want to have a surplus of tens of thousands of bag of beef by 2024. The push is for both transparency and to halt the push for mRNA jabbed beef hit roadblocks recently in Missouri. A bill that would have forced labeling of beef injected with mRNA vaccine was stalled in committee. You've got your rhinos there too.
Yeah, but it got stalled. It's not going to pass here.
All right. Let's go. Well, how much time do I have there? Okay, let's go. Tom, you'll be the last call for tonight. Tom, you're in the air.
Hello. God bless all you guys and gals. There was a gentleman, his name is Dr. Eric Berg, and he was threatened to, I guess they're going to cancel him on YouTube. He's got over 11 million subscribers, and he does very much like Wendy does, the, you know, with your supplements and whatnot. And he doesn't have too many kind things to say about Big Pharma. I just wanted to say that is a really, it's a shame what's going on. But that's what I got to say.
Well, you said it very well. And again, we've been telling people, everything we've been telling people from the beginning here, we urged you not to take the shot. We told you it was a bioweapon. That's been proven. And that's in their own, that's what they said about their, is a bioweapon. It's all a part of the depopulation. But people are not very smart out there. And
yes,
the same mainstream media, that mainstream media that thinks that, you know, they're doing what they're supposed to do, the echo chamber, you know. If you notice what came with today when they're talking about impeaching Joe Biden, the echo chamber using the exact same words, every one of them, NBC, ABC, CBS, PMSNBC, every single one of them were saying that Joe Biden has not done anything wrong, that Joe Biden has not done anything wrong. There's no evidence. And sounds like what Brett Baer said about the 2020 elections, right?
No evidence, yeah.
No evidence.
Except, heck, when it was Trump, and then we've got proof that of Russian collusion. We just haven't presented it yet, but we've got proof. We've seen proof. We know there's proof.
Yeah, well, you know, there's the little thing, fellow from Burisma. We have policy. This they played that clip of the phone call. We have policy preferences because we paid the Bidens for it.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, we paid for it. Yeah.
No, right.
That's not proof. That's only a clip of the people involved talking. I mean, you know, come on. Anyways,
yeah.
Is there time for one quick question for Wendy?
Yeah, very quickly, because then we have to give the invitation. Go ahead.
Wendy, did you see the news today where they said so many of those over-the-counter products for colds and things were
ineffective? Oh, the Benadryl and the Sudafed? Yeah, the Benadryl
yep, all
and the
of
Sudafed,
that stuff.
Yeah.
Yep.
Yeah, well, it's not in stone yet. In other words, they're not going to be pulling stuff off the shelves just yet, but it could go to that.
It just doesn't work, but we won't necessarily pull it. Or if it works, it works, what, 20% effective, 30% effective? That's pretty much of a joke, isn't it?
Well, the thing is they put those ingredients in antidepressants. And
is that
what
why the whole world's depressed?
Well, the thing is it has the opposite effect. It doesn't help with depression. It makes it worse.
That's what I mean. We've got this society of very depressed, sad, and happy people. Is that why they take this over-the-counter junk and get depressed?
Well, a lot of the stuff is not what you think it is, and I've been telling people that for a while.
Wow. Well, live and learn. Here's another lesson to listen to Wendy.
All right. Well, I got a question for you guys. And very quickly, before we do that, I'll give Wendy's phone number to call. Again, is 866-229-3663. That's 866-229-3663. Or go to thepowerherbs.com. Find out how you can get a hold of a good supply. You really should have a good supply of all natural medicines right now, because we have interesting times ahead. Now, here's the question for both of you two, okay? Revelation 20:15 says, and whosoever was not found written in the book of life was cast into the lake of fire. Okay. So, how do you get written in? How do you get your name in the book of life?
You must be born again. Jesus told Nicodemus, "You've got to be born again. It's the only way."
That's the only way. You can't buy into it, right?
Nope, can't buy into it. Can't win the lottery. Can't inherit it. You have to. It's a process of repentance of your sins. It's a process of calling on Jesus. It's simple, but it's a heartfelt change, right?
Can anybody afford to take a gamble on whether or not that verse is absolutely true?
Oh,
they shouldn't, but many will, unfortunately. I wouldn't take the gamble.
No, no. Look.
Hey, if I get born again and there is no heaven and hell, I've lost nothing. But if there is a heaven and hell, I've gained everything in the world.
Well,
I think I know which way I'd go if I were a betting man.
Okay, now I'll ask
but
Wendy.
But I'm a believer because I have the indwelling of the Holy Spirit in me, so I know
okay.
for sure.
I'm going to ask Wendy this question. Wendy, the very same guy that just said that told us that, and whosoever was not bound in the book of life was cast into the lake of fire. Now, people will say, I don't know if I believe that, but the very same person that wrote that also wrote that in the beginning, okay, he created the earth, he created the heaven, he created all of creation. Now, here's the question. Was he telling the truth about creation? Does creation exist? Is there a universe out there? Is there a sun and moon and stars? Do we have mountains and oceans on planet Earth?
Yes.
For a fact. I mean, you know that for a fact. You're not, right?
Yeah, right.
Okay, so then let me ask you this. Why do we look the way we look? We were made in whose image?
Well, we were made in God's image.
So then, if we know this, with 1,800 prophecies and just about every one of them has been fulfilled, exactly when, exactly where, exactly how, over 6,000 years, should we say, look, he's got a pretty good record there?
Oh, yeah, definitely.
Okay.
A record that's mathematically impossible.
For man, but nothing's impossible for God, yeah.
For a mathematician would tell you it's mathematically impossible, but then God doesn't care.
So here's what I would suggest to people out there, everybody listening to me right now, listening to me, if you have not received Christ as your Savior, just to say this, Lord Jesus, I know that I'm a sinner, and unless you save me, I'm lost forever. I come to you now, the best way I know how, and ask you to save me. I now receive you as my Savior. In Jesus' name, amen. Now, he left one part of that out, okay?
Forgive me of my sins.
Forgive me of my sins.
I am sorry.
And then once you do that, you pray to the Father in the name of the Son. You ask for forgiveness of sins. Then you ask the Lord Jesus to be the Lord of your life. And you become a new creature, a born-again believer, an heir of the kingdom. And you're on your way to immortality. Is that 100% true or not?
Yep.
110%. Totally
okay.
True.
So there's nothing that's got the record that God's Word has. And so we're running out of time for tonight. And, you know, we quoted all those phrases that have been around for thousands of years because God's Word will never pass away, never, even though everything
never.
Else does. God's Word won't. Wendy, thanks for being here with us tonight. And
thank you.
This is the time when we always say, good night.
Good night.
God bless.
God
bless.
And always. Let's do it. Keep fighting the fight.
Thanks for listening to the Voice of the Christian Resistance. What's Right, What's Left, hosted by Pastor Ernie Sanders. To learn more about our ministry, please visit us online at www.wrwl.org. Please tune in next time for another edition of What's Right, What's Left.
Introducing Carvana Value Tracker, where you can track your car's value over time and learn what's driving it. It might make you excited.
Whoa, didn't know my car was valued this high.
It might make you nervous.
Uh-oh, market's flooded. My car's value just dipped 2.3%.
It might make you optimistic.
Our low mileage is paying off. Our value's up.
And it might make you realistic.
Car prices haven't gone up in a couple weeks. Maybe it's time to sell.
But it will definitely make you an expert on your car's value. Carvana Value Tracker. Visit Carvana.com to start tracking your car's value today.